And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, this weekend is Easter. And in line with the Easter season and in an attempt to be ecumenical, do you think the Democrat and the Democratic Party is ready to rise again?
Well, it's never been dead, but it may have looked that way for a while.
It depends on where you've been.
Yeah, and where you're at.
And where you're at, that's right.
But it's been doing pretty well. It's been doing pretty well. What seems to be dead is the old Republican Party.
Before you get too sanguine, let's look at Pennsylvania's Democrats.
Yeah.
What's happening with Pennsylvania's Democrats? We can look at the Republicans in a minute. But what's happening with Pennsylvania's Democrats? You say they're feisty, they're raring to go. Is that true?
This week I was talking to both our Congressman Matt Cartwright and our Senator Bob Casey. I was at a fundraiser for Casey, and he's pretty feisty. He's pretty feisty. He knows he's got a challenge, but he seems to be relishing it. He's not dreading it. He says he wants to have at it with the Republicans, and he thinks that they're fairly vulnerable in some areas. Now, of course, that's a statewide race. On the more local races, the state rep races, and they were at the same event, most of our local ones, they seem somewhat optimistic as well, although I'd be careful if they felt a little bit overconfident in things.
But your state reps are in pretty safe Democratic districts. Kozlowski's in a pretty good district. Marty Flynn's in a pretty safe district, right?
Yeah. And Kyle Mullins and Kyle Donahue are as well.
But Jim Cartwright, Haddix, what about Cartwright? He's not in such a safe district. The Congress.
No, his district is a plus Trump district. And he's one of the few Democrats that keeps winning in a plus Trump district. But he's always been number one, better known than his opponents after he won the primary. And number two, he really works it. He's when he comes home, he's everywhere. He goes to all these events. Yeah, he works it for veterans. He works it for police. He works it for infrastructure. You know, he's been the mover and the shaker on bringing rail traffic back to between New York and Scranton. As a result, when the people get to know him and see what he's done, he does well. Although, again, each time his margin has shrunk, but each district, he's in a different district now than when he first was elected. He's willing to take it on with his opponent. His opponent right now hasn't really done anything ahead of the primary. Although Cartwright expects a lot of money to be flowing towards him, we'll have to see. That's the big unknown is, of course, how much money the big-name Republicans are going to be putting into these races. Like in the Senate race, the National Republicans have tried to get people who can self-fund, and they have one in Dave McCormick, who, by the way, came out with his first ad this week, and it's really not a very good ad, trying to somewhat establish his Pennsylvania roots as a high school wrestler. But there's other Republicans that are on the precipice of giving large amounts of money. Whether that will tip the race, Bob Casey. The polling has been favorable so far to Bob Casey. It's gotten more favorable to Joe Biden. I haven't heard any polls with Cartwright but he'd probably be up in them because his opponent still isn't very well known. So
now you talked to some people who were privy to the plans of the state leadership of the Democratic Party for this election, for how they plan to organize this election. What'd you learn?
Well, they have a priority. And in some ways it makes sense, and in some ways you've got to wonder a little bit. The way it makes sense is that they've got areas of the state ranked, and the number one ranking for Democrats is the Philadelphia area and the suburbs. That's where their biggest number of voters are, and they've got to get them out. Number two is over there in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, around Pittsburgh, those counties that used to be Democratic, Washington, Butler, those counties have turned Republican. So they're concentrating more on the city and the close-in suburbs there. Don't forget, Pittsburgh, they've got a divisive primary for Congress there with Summer Lee and her opponent. She's very progressive on the far left of the Democratic Party, and that's rankled some people. The third priority.
But interestingly enough, the Congressional Campaign Committee is supporting her.
Yes. And they came out this week and they're supporting her because they tend to support their own incumbents.
Yeah, right. But not always. Not always.
Not always, but pretty much always. And then the third area is the Harrisburg area. There's a lot more youth in that area now, and it's been trending much more Democratic. So that area, and of course, there's also State College, which isn't far from there. And then there's a fourth tier, and we're in that fourth tier, the Northeast. And the Northeast has been trending more Republican, Luzerne County in particular. Lackawanna County is still Democratic, but the registrations have been going more Republican, but the votes, the Republicans just haven't had good candidates, in essence, up here. And we should mention Luzerne County, there's turmoil in the Republican ranks. Their party chairman just resigned. Apparently there's that split, the MAGA split versus the non-MAGA split, but the voters are becoming more and more MAGA down there. And then you have Monroe and Pike counties, which have more Democrats, but still can be show up as Republican. So we have that. And then they didn't really mention the Lehigh Valley. Don't forget there's a congresswoman down there, Susan Wild, who's had tough races, and she's got a tougher district since the redistricting because she lost a Democratic part of Monroe County and picked up Schuylkill County, which is Republican. But again, the Republicans have been split. You know, they've had primary fights. So that seems to be their strategy. Their communications, though, still aren't very good. But they are relying. The one thing they are relying on is the thing that we've seen all across the country, and that's the fallout from the Dobbs decision. And that seems to be animating because there are more women in the Democratic coalition than men. And the women are taking this very personal. So they see that as a number one issue, even though you hear things like immigration, which does worry people. At the ballot box, we saw it again this week down in Alabama, where a state House or state Senate seat flipped to the Democratic woman who was running there. And we know what's been happening in Alabama there with some of the some of the votes against women's rights and women's interests. So
it seems to me that the Democratic strategy that you've outlined in Pennsylvania makes sense if you concern yourself mainly or even only with statewide races, senator, president, and so forth. But if you're concerned about the long-term control of the state legislature, which is, after all, where the things that count in Pennsylvania for the average person gets legislated on, schools, roads, healthcare. I mean, it all has a federal aspect to it, but the state administers it and manages it, the state government, and the legislature determines that. So in the final analysis, if progressive forces don't control the state legislatures, it doesn't matter what you do in Congress, because the state legislatures and the state governments will just say, well, we're not going to accept that program. We don't have to expand Medicaid. We don't have to build these roads. We don't have to do any of these things. Well, we choose not to. We don't. I remember this state, Chris Christie, turned down building an absolutely essential tunnel across the harbor in New York because he said he didn't think Pennsylvania, New Jersey should pay his share. He didn't want to pay the share.
He didn't want to raise taxes.
Yeah, but he didn't want to raise taxes. He didn't want to pay that amount of money. So the fact that the feds allocate the money for it, say let's do it, if progressive forces don't control the state government, it doesn't get done. So it seems to me that it's in the Democrats' not interest, it's their responsibility to figure out a long-term plan that can be implemented together with focusing on Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Harrisburg, that also has in its sights incremental slow gains in the 42 rural counties. Not that you're going to take over these rural counties today, but that over a 10-year period, you make incremental gains, another incremental gain, so that these counties are not bedrock bastions for reaction. Counties that have an overwhelming number of older people who need services the Republicans won't give them, who the Republicans will not appropriate money for the schools. It falls on the local county to appropriate the money for the schools. The same people who don't have jobs and who are older and who need everything else are now asked to pay the difference between what the state won't give you and what the kids do need. So the kids leave, the families leave. There's every reason to think that if the Democrats in the rural counties would have programs, specific, local, detailed programs for this county, that county, the other county, in time, that would resonate. Not today. Not resonate at once. Doesn't work that way. There are stages.
Well, that's, you know, and time and demographics seem to have been working against the Democrats in those areas. As you said, they've become older, and the older people are more conservative, and they've always voted Republican, and their parents and their grandparents, and going back to the Civil War, they've voted Republican. And getting them to change or seeing their way of life change in a way that they're not happy, getting them to change is a monumental task.
It is a monumental task, but nobody asked anybody to join the Democratic Party. You volunteer.
Yeah.
Well, so why did you volunteer? What do you want to do? Why are you here?
Yeah. And then the other party is, of course, that you have to have leadership and politicians who aren't just concentrating on the next election.
Right, exactly.
But they have to concentrate on the next election, because if they have a bad like a 2010 wave, Bad things happen.
So yeah, your sentence left out a word. You can't concentrate only on the next election. And I'm not suggesting you should.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's it. That's something. And then, you have the courts also. Pennsylvania has been lucky that they've been able to hold a Democratic majority in the state Supreme Court. It's still 5-2. By the way, next year is going to be a real battleground, but it's a retention election rather than a one-on-one election. So the people just need to vote yes or no on the state Supreme Court. And you can expect the Republicans who fell asleep 10 years ago and let three Democrats be elected to the court, that they're going to go after these three. And you're going to get fear campaigns and whatever, because that's what the Republicans do best. They play on fear more than anything. And fear is a great motivator of people. We know that.
The Democrats don't do it. And frankly,
right.
And average people should be afraid of the Republicans.
Yeah,
the Democrats don't point out why they should be afraid.
you know, last week, over the weekend, I was watching a book TV presentation by a woman named Rachel Bitecofer, B-I-T-E-C-O-F-E-R. And she was a pollster, but she's a political scientist type. And she's been analyzing elections, and she just wrote a new book called Hit 'Em Where It Hurts. In essence, she says Michelle Obama was wrong. Remember, Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. And Rachel Bitecofer says, no, if you look at elections, that doesn't work. You gotta get down and dirty and whack them as well. And it's one of the things that you see with Republicans, that are Republican voters. They admire strength. And if the Democrats appear to be weak, they don't attract Republican votes. But you can attract a Democrat who appears to be strong. John Fetterman projected that type of thing. And even since his election, he's come out, you know, and stood up to criticism on a number of issues. And that adds to an overall popularity. Now, it might turn some Democrats off, but generally it doesn't turn them off enough to vote against the Democrat. But it can attract some independent and some Republican votes, and particularly now when the party is split between MAGA and non-MAGA, although non-MAGA seems to be going away. Those folks don't have a home anymore. So, you know, you're right. And don't forget, Falk's rule number one in politics is think long term. And that needs to be done.
I know that there's a great deal of anger at the fact that the Alabama Supreme Court ruled in such a way that in vitro fertilization is threatened. Yeah. And ruled in, and other courts have ruled in such a way that the menace of fetal personhood would be established in law, as national law, and that, in fact, the Supreme Court is about to deal with this matter. And the plain fact of the situation is that if the Supreme Court decides that there is such a thing as fetal personhood that has to be recognized in the United States law, Pennsylvania has already passed a law that mandates Pennsylvania to accept that, and you don't have to pass any other legislation. In 1982, the legislature passed Public Law 476, called the Abortion Control Act. And part of that law is, and I'll quote you the relevant paragraph. This is it. In every relevant civil or criminal proceeding in which it is possible to do so without violating the federal constitution, the common and statutory law of Pennsylvania shall be construed so as to extend to the unborn the equal protection of the laws and to further the public policy of this commonwealth encouraging childbirth over abortion. The law is there in Pennsylvania. It waits only on Alito saying this is the law of the land. Nothing else has to be done in Pennsylvania. Democrats, women who are not Democrats but who are concerned about their rights, who want to do something, have to make sure that the Alitos of the court system don't prevail. They've got to make it impossible for there to be more Alitos in the court system by making sure that it's not Republicans who appoint judges. And you can only do that on the federal level by voting Democratic.
Yeah, and it's not just Pennsylvania. Then you also have to have a Democratic Senate to approve judges.
That's right. That's right.
And that's where it is. Now, you know, we saw this week because there was that argument on Mifepristone before the Supreme Court. And already you could see. Now, Alito and Thomas were ready to go whole hog.
Okay? They're ready to abandon, outlaw contraception.
Yes. Yeah. In essence, they're citing this Comstock Act from 150 years ago. But you could see the other Republican appointees to the court, Roberts and Kavanaugh and even Barrett and Gorsuch. They've been, you know, what's the old saying? The court reads the election results. and they've seen what's happening in the elections, and you've seen them looking for a way to back off of this extreme position of Alito and Thomas. They may take the narrow road and just say that the litigants don't have standing, so they don't have to write an opinion that gets into the details. But they really are worried about that. And then also, we saw where the court has, I think I mentioned it last week, projected a new rule that says in these district courts that where there's only one judge sitting, if there's something that's going to affect the nation, that that judge cannot be the only one who has the possibility of hearing the case, that the entire district, rather than a part of that district, the judges for that entire district have to be eligible to hear that case. And that's
that would remove the power of this fellow Kretschmarek.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could still wind up, but instead of being 100% sure of getting it, he might only be 20% sure of getting it.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with Eileen Cannon down in West Palm Beach. The whole area, the whole district would have to hear it. And there's far more judges than she down there. So that's something that's there.
And really, she gets away with, Eileen Cannon gets away with unbelievable crap.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the latest stunt that she pulled in asking for briefing on what the jury instructions should be.
Which doesn't even have a date for trial.
Yeah. She won't set a date for the trial, but she wants to know what the jury instructions should be. And the questions she poses have very little to do with the prosecution. They're framed to argue for or against Trump's defense.
Right. Right. On issues that, whether the Presidential Records Act allows them to do things when it clearly doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a jury question.
That's right.
That's a judge question.
Yeah.
Interpretation of the law. There's still talk about whether Jack Smith is going to ask the circuit to jump in as he has before.
You really think that that Palm Beach trial will come before November? I don't believe it can.
No.
She succeeded in what her task was, which was to delay it past the election.
Yeah.
She's already succeeded. Yeah.
Because there's overwhelming evidence that Trump committed acts in violation of the law. I think we should mention this week that Bobby Kennedy picked a running mate.
Why? Why should we mention that?
It's
true. Some people say he has 19% of the vote, but that's
he
nonsense.
Ain't gonna get he's not going to get 19%. But he could pull a Ralph Nader and hurt Joe Biden in some in a couple of places
where he can't afford to be. Which state?
You don't know yet. You have to see where he targets it. His problem is getting on the ballot. The Libertarians are toying with putting him as their candidate on the ballot. His running mate's a 36 or 38-year-old woman?
38-year-old lawyer.
Whose main claim to doing things is marrying rich men. Her wealth comes from her divorce from Sergey Brin, one of the founders of Google. And she's the one that financed his ad at the Super Bowl. He's going to be relying on her for funds.
By the way, the day after he nominated her, she already made a speech attacking the safety of in vitro fertilization.
Right.
So.
And, that's not going to help them. That's not going to help them. But it does help them, and there's a question, it might take Trump votes, the skeptics, the people that are skeptical of government or skeptical of science, that's the people he appeals to. That's the people he appeals to.
But are those people Republicans or Democrats or independents?
Well, that's the question. Right. That's the question. They're hard to label in certain areas. They're just that that one class that who was it that wrote the book, the political science book about the lunatic fringe of American politics back in the 60s. I can't remember his name right now.
Hofstadter,
Richard Hofstadter. Yeah, he's the guy. By the way,
there's 15% of the electorate that'll vote for anything. Yeah. Little green men who came from Mars. They landed in I don't know, Rochdale Village in Queens. Oh yeah, I saw them. Right.
Yeah. Jewish space lasers and things like that.
Exactly.
Although Carrie Lake doesn't seem to be making any friends out in Arizona, which is good for the Democrats. Should we have any sadness that Romney McDaniel is out of a job again?
Well, she'll be getting her pay, I'm sure.
She's getting her pay.
Yeah.
She's getting her pay, but that was a, you know, that didn't last. I mean, she didn't even last a full Scaramucci.
The thing is that
the media.
You remember that the guys who ran CNN were bitterly attacked by liberals and progressives for all the publicity they gave Trump.
Right.
In 2016 election, and it was somebody counted it up, it amounted to $3 billion in free publicity, right?
Right.
So here's NBC and CNBC. MSNBC, essentially doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't fulfill their so-called mandate for free expression. That fulfills their mandate for more profit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with public service or profits.
Well, but they can't. That's right.
They can't get it in their heads that this is not a normal type of election. That they are being used by the authoritarians in order to undermine democracy.
But they don't care. They don't care. It's going to add a dollar per quarter per share for dividends. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
When you're making a living on something, you promote that something, whatever it might be. And to expect that you won't do that is silly. And if you're involved in the management of a corporation, it's even illegal to not do whatever you can do to maximize your profit.
Right.
So there's just a tension, an irreconcilable antagonism between their responsibility as citizens and their responsibility as corporate leaders.
Yes.
It's a damn good thing she didn't get to that mic.
Yes, that's right. That's good news. Yeah. One and two other pieces of good news. One, that woman in Texas that had been sentenced to 5 years for voting illegally, even though she didn't know she couldn't vote, had her...
They told her she could vote.
They told her, they sent her the ballot.
Yeah.
And they never counted her vote.
Right.
She finally had her sentence overturned by the appeals court. Good for her.
Right.
Although they
good for the ACLU, which promoted, you know, which carried it, carried that case.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Republican in Georgia, an election official, who's voted 9 times illegally, apparently.
He's not just any old guy. He helped run the elections.
The elections, yeah. And then the other good news is that baseball season started this week. So
that's also good news?
It's always good news when baseball season starts. Okay. Summer's coming. The boys of summer. So we wish everybody a happy Easter and... I guess we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Okay.
Yeah, as long as people aren't reading about it in the Trump Bible.
Yeah, we can talk about that next week.
We can talk about that. Okay.
It's next week.
Next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.